Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to take a look at your house today and home improvements relating to your home with John Freiberger. Back once again to talk about all those kinds of problems that can develop. He's with Freiberger Construction Consulting, registered home inspector. He's, four decades of experience in the restoration of old homes. You may have a moisture issue you'd like to talk about. You may have some other sort of general home improvement questions. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post a question on our Facebook page. It's called The Larry Mueller Show, and don't forget to like us when you're there. And John Freiberger, thanks for coming in. Great to have you with us once again.
Always great to be here.
You know, when we were planning this program, you said you've been seeing some very nasty house issues because of all the rain we had last year and still lots of moisture issues.
We have, Larry. It seems that as our climate is changing, Wisconsin, it looks like, is going to become wetter. And we certainly have had a very, very, very wet year. At least my farm here south of Madison is just, seems like I've been in mud since May.
Oh, man. So it's, you know, mold is an issue then. What other kinds of problems?
Well, what I'm finding, Larry, and it really disappoints me, is we don't seem to know how to build houses. Envelope issues seem to be the bane of our existence here in Wisconsin, is we do not know how to keep water out of wall systems. And, of course, we've got two types of water to keep out. One is that, you know, the rain and snow, the exterior water, we've got to keep that out. And what I'm seeing is a tremendous number of errors, especially in masonry. I think 90% of the masonry that I'm seeing is wrong.
Oh,
and this is brand new houses and houses that are 10 and 15 years old. The other moisture that we worry about, and we've seen a lot of that this summer, is the interior moisture. Because when things are really damp outside and they're damp inside, we end up, we talked about this a bit on our last program, is once we get that 85% relative humidity inside these walls, we get fungal problems.
Yeah.
And we've seen a tremendous amount of damage to houses from water this year and a tremendous amount of damage from mold, I think more than I've ever seen before in 44 years of being in this business.
That's really sad. And what is it? People just don't know what to do to construct these homes properly? Or?
Well, what's odd, Larry, is I had one in Middleton Hills, a brand new house, and it was leaking so badly that they couldn't use parts of the basement. They actually ended up filling in their wine cellar. And so the mason came back and was redoing it, and I said, do you need me to explain to you how this is to be done? And he said, I know how it's to be done. No one will pay for it. And that is one of our problems, it seems, in the current economy, is people want things cheap.
Yeah.
And the most expensive house in the world is a cheaply built house.
Yeah.
Because you are going to put money into it. Your kids are going to be sick. Your children are going to end up with asthma. We've got to start doing a better job of building our houses. And those of us that own houses, the nice thing about winter is it's actually a pretty good time to check what's going on with that envelope of your house.
It is.
Well, in some ways, it's better than summer. You know, in the summer, we've got an awful lot to do. The grass got to be cut. We've got to trim the hedges and plant the vegetables and there's all kinds of, you know, picnics with the kids. You know, in the winter, we're sort of sitting there. But it gives us a little bit of time to think. And I don't think we've ever had a program with you where we haven't said, think about getting an energy assessment. And that, an energy assessment is not just an energy assessment. An energy assessment can also assess holes in the envelope of your house. Now, let me explain what I mean by envelope. I mean, we know there's an outside envelope. You've got your wood, or you've got your siding, or you've got your stucco, or you've got your something. That is keeping the water out, it's keeping the wind out, trying to keep the heat and cold out, keep the mice and ants out. But we also have an interior side to that envelope. It's doing the same thing. It's keeping the water in. It's keeping the water vapor in your house out of the interior of the wall system. Is keeping the air inside your house, because if the air is blowing out of your house, well, the heat's blowing outside of your house. So we really have to look at an envelope as something that is two-sided. We're holding something in, we're holding something out. The nice thing about hiring an energy inspector who comes and does a blower door test is they are going to find where the big air leaks are in your house. If there are big air leaks in your house, that can produce water leaks. The other thing that they're going to do is they're probably going to go around with thermal imaging. And the nice thing about thermal imaging, when you do it in the summer and it's 72 inside and 72 outside, you don't see much in the thermal imaging.
Yeah.
But when it's 16 degrees like it is today and it's 70 inside your house, if you've got some holes in the insulation, if you've got holes in your air barrier so that air is leaving your house, your energy inspector is going to pick up a lot of bright colors that are telling us what's going on with the envelope of your house. So you can't do that in the summer very well, but this is the time of year you can do it. So if anyone suspects they have issues with their house, I really think that having an energy inspector take a look at it, both with a blower door test and with thermal imaging, is a really good thing to do during the winter.
I would agree. I had that done to a previous home on our lake home and in the winter, and it was really an eye-opening experience. And for the, I don't know, $200-$300 we spent on that, we were able to make some adjustments and really improve the house.
You probably saved that money five times over in the time that you lived there.
Yeah, I would not doubt it a bit. Kathleen in Mineral Point has a question for you, so let's go there. Kathleen, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I've been curious about storm windows. We have one of those nice old stone and brick buildings in Mineral Point, and it's going to be several years before we could afford to put in thermal pane replacements for the 12-light double-hung windows we have. There's just a couple of them, and I've been wondering about, I've been searching for and not finding thermal pane storm windows that maybe we could get and use instead of replacing the original old 9 lights or 12 lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe I know anyone who makes a thermal pane storm window, and there's a reason, is that your storm windows are not supposed to fit dead tight. You are going to get, with these old sashes that you have, you're going to get some air movement out around the edges of those sashes. And you may be days, Kathleen, where you notice there's no condensation on the sashes, but there's condensation on the storm window outside. Well, that's because that air is getting out, and then it's hitting the dew point, and it's condensing out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a thermal pane out there, basically what you're doing then is you're sealing that. So you're going to end up with a fairly cold area because you've got the interior sashes, and you're going to end up with a lot of condensation. That condensation is going to run down onto your sills, and it's going to end up rotting out your sills.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
If you go online, I've been preaching saving old windows for years. And there's actually a national organization on saving old windows. There's videos available on how to do it. But take a look at your old sashes. Get them properly weather stripped. Make sure that they fit very well. Get them as tight as they can. Make sure you don't have air leaks around the sashes. You've got an old brick building. Well, how tightly are those sashes set into that brick wall? May not be very tight. So, in other words, do the energy inspection Larry and I are just talking about. And then just put regular storm windows on. If you do that, you're going to end up with a dead air space, relatively dead air space, and about an R2 window system. That would be about the same as a fairly inexpensive half-inch brand-new thermal pane. So do a little research online on restoration of old windows, and that with just plain, common storm windows might be the best thing to go with.
There you go. Thanks so much for joining us, Kathleen. Appreciate your call. John Freiberger of Freiberger & Associates, our guest today as we take a look at your home. And joining me as well today is Wisconsin Public Radio Director Mike Crane. Mike, great to have you here.
Great to be here.
I tell you what, he's here to talk with you about our single largest source of funding. You know what it is? It's listener support. And that means that in this season of giving, your gift is so important. So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Mike, we've had some pretty good response so far today.
Yeah, the pledge drive has been going great. We're really thrilled with that, and we want to make sure we complete it that way. We're actually at about the halfway point in the drive, and we look forward to your help. Thank you for all those new and renewing pledges. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. It's a generous match from a pair of anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle members in Green Bay, and it means that they will match every dollar you give. And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
So you can double your support of the programs you love. Just give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I know you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I think in part because we're commercial-free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. We've got, what, state and federal funding, Mike? We've got corporate funding. They're all important, but, of course, there's another source that's very important as well.
And that's you listening right now. Listener support is the single largest piece of the Wisconsin Public Radio budget pie, so that means your support is making a huge difference, the backbone of WPR funding. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're looking for the best way to, say, fit a gift into your budget for WPR, become a sustaining member. If you're a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly contributions from your credit card or your bank account. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, a lot of people are giving $15 a month in this plan, Larry. Some give $100 a month. The amount is totally up to you. As a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing monthly member of WPR, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. So contribute right now. Become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $5, $10, or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio, and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane asking for your support of WPR. And your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. We just need some basic information, your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, that's the most important part, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world here. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, for our guests, Larry, and you know this, it's a very different experience being on Wisconsin Public Radio than in some other places where they've been interviewed. They often say, thank you for your great listeners. They really appreciate you listeners. You're thoughtful and active and engaged. You want to find out today, in fact, about how to make sure your home is in good shape. And there's all kinds of different ways you can find things out on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we thank you for the financial support that makes it all possible. If you haven't pledged yet, how about doing it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And please don't forget, we have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500, and we have to make that match by noon today. And it's in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because a pair of anonymous 9XM leadership members in Green Bay will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So, hey, double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We just had a pledge a little while ago from Aaron and Jeff from Stoughton who say, Larry, that they listen to your show every day, and they're happy to donate to keep Larry and your amazing guests on the air. And also they mentioned that they love the WPR app, and they re-listen to your shows as they commute using that mobile app. That's terrific.
That's wonderful.
We'd love to hear from others like Aaron and Jeff who really love WPR and would make that pledge of support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, because you'd like to hear, I hope you'll help pay for our WPR programming and you're listening. You choose the amount, be it $5 or $10, $20 a month. They're all great points to start. Whatever's comfortable for you, you can become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So here's a way of thinking, well, I really don't know how much to pledge. Well, how about this? Let's say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. Maybe you tell someone about it. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to $10 a month. How about making that contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552?
Give the amount that's right for you, and if you need some help figuring that out, I just, you know, follow Mike's advice. If you paid a dime for every good thing that you heard here on Wisconsin Public Radio,
might be more than that amount.
Might be more than that. And our dollar for dollar match is still in effect. Lots to go yet. So help us out right now with our dollar for dollar match at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far. It's the season for giving. Support the radio you love and do some extra help for us right now. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. You can give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
One more comment, Larry, and I know we want to get back to our guest and calls, but Jared from Madison says, I've made it my personal policy to contribute during every pledge drive. That's terrific, Jared. Thank you so much.
Coming up at 1 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn talks to a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter about President-elect Trump's promise to drain the swamp in Washington and how his appointments seem to contradict that promise. Right now, though, we're taking a look at your home improvement, keeping your house dry and fit during this season with John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. Always great to have John come by, and certainly we're more than happy to take your questions at 800-642-1234. Joe in Chippewa Falls has a question for us, John, so let's go there. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I got an exterior question. We have, I believe, fiberglass shingles. They're CertainTeed, and they're about 12 years old, but I just noticed this summer there's like dime to nickel-sized lichen starting to take hold. And, you know, I can find a lot of products to get rid of or clean off mold and stuff from siding, but shingles, do you have any suggestions? Because I don't want to reduce their lifetime or whatever,
sure,
putting something on there that I shouldn't.
Yeah, this is a very common problem, Joe. In fact, there's a couple of manufacturers of shingles that actually make a shingle that includes zinc in the granules.
Mm.
You may remember driving out in the country seeing some of these old farmhouses. And across the ridge of the roof, they've got some metal. Nowadays, it's usually painted, unfortunately. But originally, that was zinc-coated steel. And the idea is that the zinc acted as a bit of an herbicide. Now, I have heard of people, though I've not tried it myself, though I should because I've got lichen on the wood shingles on my farmhouse, of actually taking strips of zinc-coated metal.
Mm-hmm.
And a good zinc, you want something that's a G60 or above as far as the coating. And they basically put that under a few shingles with a little bit of edge and then see if that, just because of the acidity of the rain, washes the zinc down, and it might actually cure the lichen problem. That's
okay.
Something I've really got to do this next year myself to see if it works, but I'm told it does.
I have a very, very steep pitched roof, and, you know, who would I get to put that on there? Because there's no way that I can get up on that roof.
Yeah, you're going to want a professional roofer, because the other problem is you don't want to disturb the glue down strips on your shingles,
okay,
and because that would cause damage. Is this an old house?
No, it's about 17 years old.
17, and it's a two-story house?
Three.
Three-story house, oh my. Do you have a lot of trees around the house?
Tons.
None.
That is a little bit unusual. I would probably go ahead and call the manufacturer's tech support and see if they had any particular suggestions. I believe there's also a spray that can be applied. Again, I don't have a brand name. I haven't used it, and I can't recommend it. But call tech support. Did you say this is Owens Corning or
CertainTeed?
Certainty. Call Certainty, the very large company, tech support. They're probably going to be willing to help you. I'm almost certain they have an 800 number. If not, they're going to have something like, they're going to have an email address like info@certainty.com, and start with them. They certainly are going to be the experts.
Thank you much.
Thanks a lot for calling. I can remember way back, John Merrill, our housing specialist that we used to have on from UW, and I'm pretty sure he recommended the zinc strips. He said usually you had to get rid of the what you had on the roof first and then put the strips on, and that would kind of keep it from developing.
And it's so difficult to remove the lichen because sometimes it's really bonded, and especially, well, Joe's got this three-story steep roof.
a big problem there. Fran in Delafield, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Fran.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I have an older home. My concern is with an addition that I'm guessing was put on in the early 1950s. There's a very low slope roof over this area, the kitchen and laundry room. Inappropriately, a roofer put on shingles because he mismeasured the slope. And that's going to be taken care of with a rubber roof. But my question is, for the first time since the shingles are put on, I've been getting condensation dripping right through the kitchen and laundry room ceiling. I've been told that the solution is to take the ceiling down and have insulation blown into that area. Is that how you resolve that kind of low-slope condensation problem?
No. Since that roof is going to come off, that gives you the opportunity of fixing the problem from above without ripping out your ceiling. So you have a 1950s addition, so that means there's no vapor barrier, so your ceiling is vapor permeable. You've got a laundry area in a kitchen with a lot of moisture. So that moisture is going right up through the plaster or drywall. It's probably condensing on the bottom side of the roof sheathing, which is probably getting to be pretty nasty at this point. If it's old plywood, it may be delaminating. So what you may find is when you put the new roof on that you've got to take that roof sheathing off anyway. If the roof sheathing is off, you have an insulation company come with their big vacuum truck and you suck out all of the insulation. Then you start by spraying 2 inches of urethane spray right on top of the ceiling. That's going to give you a thermal barrier, an air barrier, and a vapor barrier. And then you can put cheap cellulose or mineral wool or anything else over the top of that without ripping out anything inside your house at all. So what you'll need to do is talk to a smart roofer or general contractor who can coordinate with an insulation contractor. You can, most roofers will come and cut a hole for you first so you can actually see what's going on so you can plan it out a little bit.
All right.
Okay. All right, so that's a urethane spray, you say, that goes on top of the ceiling.
That's right. It's a two-part spray. We use this a great deal, old farmhouses. Anything that doesn't have a vapor barrier, because you could add a ton of insulation in there. But if you have air leaks that are carrying moisture up there, or diffusion, though air leaks are the worst, you are still going to get condensation on the bottom side of that roof sheathing because that is what's called the first condensing surface. We've actually had houses where they've added a lot of insulation. They never had problems in the attic before, and now they have mold in the attic because they've decreased the attic temperature. So insulation without a vapor and air barrier is not 100% solution, and sometimes it's a problem.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Fran. Thank you so much for calling. And let's go to Tom in Portage next. Tom, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. See, I've got a new construction going on, and I'm going to be insulating and sheeting the inside of my garage. Do I put a plastic barrier on after the insulation before sheeting?
Is this an attached garage, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. If it's insulated, I believe that the Uniform Dwelling Code at this point says that you do have to have a vapor barrier there. And I think it is going to be a good idea to have a vapor barrier because we don't want to get any condensation. Now, a garage usually is not something that's terribly wet, so we don't have a lot of vapor. But check with your you can look it up online. It's going to be SPS Chapter 321, or I'm sorry, 323, or call your local building inspector. And actually, calling the building inspector is probably the easiest.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Thanks a lot for calling. We had Roberta emailed us a question on snow on the roof. What does it mean to have snow on your roof not melting? Does it mean your insulation is working? And she also says we have new gutter guards to prevent leaves from clogging the gutters, but we do get some snow and icicles that are sort of hanging from the edge of the gutters. Is that bad? So a couple questions there.
All right. Well, the more snow you have unmelted on your roof, the better your insulation is working. Your insulation and your air barrier are both working. Now, it isn't unusual, even in a well-insulated house, to end up with a few icicles, whether they're on the gutter guards or on the gutters or just dripping off the fascia. If there's no gutters on the house, doesn't make any difference. Icicles are always a bit of a problem. Many older houses can be very well insulated until you get to that very narrow spot where the rafters are running into the ceiling, because you end up with not much space. Nowadays, when we do houses and we use trusses, we have things called energy heels, so we create space there. So again, what you may want to do, as Larry and I discussed earlier, is get an energy auditor over there with a thermal camera. If he sees that there is, sees colors that are representing that area is quite a bit warmer, that might suggest that you need to come up with a little bit more effective insulation technique in that area, which in most cases is going to be the installation of a spray foam. But if most of your snow is staying on your roof, that is great.
We have Lisa in Kenosha emailed us. Our home was built in 2009. Every winter, our windows sweat, and on occasion, it creates mold. It happens mostly on the north side of our home and all of the windows on the first and second floors. What would you suggest to do for that problem?
You know, Larry, the next time we do a program, you're going to remind me to do all kinds of window research on dew points and windows and R factors. So I'm going to come in and be real smart about that. But I can say that in general, from looking at condensation charts in Wisconsin, is that if you have 40% relative humidity in your house, when your windows get down to about 30 degrees, you're going to be getting condensation. Now, there are windows and there are windows. There are windows that are R1. There's a lot of windows that are R2. There are windows that are R8, although I can't afford them. Mm-hmm. So it is just simply a problem in Wisconsin. Unless you have a super well-insulated window with the heat reflection, etc., the windows are going to get cold and you are going to get condensation. It would be good to just check the windows online. If they're Herds or Marvins or Pella's, you should have the model. You should go online. You should see what kind of thermal efficiency they have. But unfortunately, this is something that in Wisconsin we end up just living with. Do check the humidity in your house. Get a humidistat. Do not rely upon like the humidifier electronic controls. Yeah. They're often wrong. So the lower you keep your humidity, the less condensation you're going to have.
We are talking today with John Freiberger of Freiberger Consulting of Fitchburg. Great to have him along talking about your home. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And you know what? I want to give you another number, too. Larry Mueller here again with Mike Crane joining us in our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on WPR for in-depth talk of the issues, and we count on you to keep these discussions going strong. So give a gift right now. Your gift makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Mike, we still have that dollar-for-dollar match.
We do, and we have about $2,100 still to raise to take advantage of the entire match from a pair of anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle members who live in Green Bay. So that means that your gift of $50 means $100 for WPR. $200 turns into $400. You get the idea. So please take advantage of this match right now and double your support for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I bet you've been enjoying this conversation about your home and keeping your home dry and fit in the wintertime. John Freiberger, our guest, and he does a wonderful job both on air, and he answers a whole lot of emails after the fact as well. So it's great. And I think it's an example of the kind of fun, interesting, important programs that we have on this show. So take a few minutes right now, eh, Mike?
Hey, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I just love is when we're just going about thinking about what's wrong with our house or whatever, we really wish we could ask someone who knows what's up, right? And we have that right here on the Larry Miller Show with John here today, and that's so wonderful. How about taking a few minutes to make this program and the other programs possible? Choose a gift amount that works for you and then pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend a few dollars a month on TV streaming or maybe movie subscription services. Think about paying for your WPR use. After all, you tune in probably every day for information and entertainment.
And if you're like me, you spend at least that much on coffee.
Yeah.
You know, if you've never given before, how about starting with a gift of $5 or $10 a month? That's comparable to a Netflix subscription and maybe a better deal. And it's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time, 100 years, as a matter of
That's
fact,
right.
coming up. You know, the reason we've been able to stay around so long is, I think, because we're committed to quality. And since listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you.
In other words, your contribution makes this program possible, and so many other programs as well. You are part of the quality that you hear on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Make your donation right now in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Miller here with Mike Crane, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our year-end membership drive. And whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we certainly count on your gift.
Well, we'd love to make sure that you're one of the supporters that makes John Freiberger's visit today and other visits possible. Peter Green, who helps us with our computers, and Melinda Myers, a nationally known gardening expert. You find them here on The Larry Miller Show.
I think you get great information that you can use from these guests and so many others on the program. It's a real pleasure, frankly, to have them on and be able to talk with them. And it's your contribution that makes it all possible. So I hope you'll pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, Larry, you know, you really do find out so much on your show. I was really enjoying the secrets of World War II that you had on the other day. And always interesting listening to the Larry Miller Show, isn't it? Well, how about taking advantage of the dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 that is in effect right now? It's a great time to pledge because we're going to help make a pair of 9XM Leadership Circle people make their money work harder for WPR, too. They come from Green Bay. They support Wisconsin Public Radio. How about you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552?
Certainly, we ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $5 a month, some give $100 or even more a month.
Whatever the amount, we use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment here on the Ideas Network going strong. So give now whatever amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network. You rely on these discussions on WPR, and that's why your gift during our year-end membership drive is so important.
So help us put a strong finish on 2016 so we can continue to bring you the issues and information that you like and value in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We have, oh boy, we could about $2,400 left to raise. About $2,000, yeah. I should say, left to raise. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Well, I want to share a comment from Jill and Travis from Wausau who say, WPR feeds our minds, and this drive, we also get to feed our neighbors. Thanks for the win-win opportunity. Well, what are they talking about? It is the season of giving, and you can do something extra when you make your pledge. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, and you will be helping your neighbors. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Taking a look at your home, is it in need of any improvements? John Freiberger is here to help of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. I'm Larry Mueller. Again, thanks for joining us. Lots of callers online, so I think we'll just go right back to the phones. And Ann in Random Lake. Ann, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I wanted to respond to the previous question about, I think it was the previous question about water on the windows in the winter, and my husband and I had the same problem, and we ended up installing an air exchanger to help solve that problem, and it works well. When it gets very, very cold, we sometimes have to play with the level on it and the humidity level, but overall, it's worked well for us. We have wood windows, so they mold easily.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to comment on that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Ann. They used to be called air-to-air heat exchangers. Now they're heat recovery ventilating systems,
yes. And when we're designing a new house, if we're looking for houses that have an air change of only half an air change per hour, HRVs are going to be something that every good house in the future is going to have because we really need to change. And not only are you able to control your humidity, but you've got things that you buy a new couch. Well, it's outgassing formaldehyde. Mm-hmm. You cook on the stove. You end up with some CO from your gas burner. So the HRV, besides being able to control for the humidity in your house, really is going to control a lot of things. Now, if you have an old leaky farmhouse like mine, you don't need it. But if you have a newer house, or if you even have a 1954 house and you really tighten it up, you may find that an HRV is in your future. We forget that we generate a lot of moisture inside our house. In fact, if you go to the Cold Climate Housing Research Center in Minnesota, they'll give you a printout. They'll tell you if you've got garden plants, if you've got a large Labrador, here's how many pints of moisture that is going to put into your house for the year. So the tighter the house, the more we need to induce air changes mechanically. And that is becoming, we are finally beginning to get that right when we spend the money to get it right. But Ann is doing the wise thing.
Ann is doing the wise thing for sure. Let's go to Bob in Brookfield next. Bob, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry and John. I'm planning on building a small bunkhouse, a seasonal bunkhouse on a floating concrete slab. And one of the things I wanted to do is put about a 3-foot concrete apron in front, and then on the other three sides, extend the concrete out about a foot so that when I cut the grass with a mower, I can wheel right along on the concrete little slab sticking out instead of trying to get up close to the building. And I've talked to a concrete contractor, and he said he's never heard of that being done before, and I'm just wondering if there's any potential problems doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now,
one thing he said he would do with not only the apron but also this 1-foot extension is to put rebar from the slab itself into the aprons on the four sides.
Now, Bob, you said a bunkhouse. What exactly is the use for this?
It's
this
just
building?
Going to be for sleeping. It's at a lake cottage. We only use it during the warm weather months, so we wouldn't have any plumbing or anything.
So it's not going to be heated.
It's not going to be heated,
but it is
except for space heaters, electric space heaters.
Right. Okay. You are going to have to, if this is a new building, unless you're in some odd area, you're going to have to follow the Uniform Dwelling Code on this. So you better talk to the township or the jurisdiction that has authority up there and see what they have to say about this. You can do a slab on grade. You are going to have to provide frost protection. The other thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make sure that you have nothing that can decay or deteriorate due to water in contact with the slab or within 6 inches of it. So there are a whole bunch of rules that you're really going to need to follow. Yes, rebar reinforcement or mat reinforcement in concrete slabs is always advised to make them work. But exactly how this slab is designed is something that you may have to hire an architect, an engineer, or at least a good concrete designer to design. Once it's designed, before you do it, make sure you take it to your local jurisdiction and say, I'm going to get a permit for this. Is this consistent with the Uniform Dwelling Code?
Yeah. All good things to do. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Chris in Colfax, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Thank you.
Before I ask John, I just want to say thank you for bringing up the idea of an energy inspector coming in. We'll be putting up sheetrock in a week or two, so we're going to have the guy come in, hopefully, before the sheetrock is up if we need to make any changes. But I'm wondering if John has an idea how to keep a garden hose from freezing during construction. I'm living in a camper, and it's about a 110-foot run. It is a heated hose, but I'm looking at 15 below next week, and what am I going to do?
Ooh. Well, there's a question that I can say I've never been asked before.
I haven't either. Well, can you put heat tape on it?
Find out.
Oh, my. So this is one of the hoses that has little electrical coil around it. Basically, it has a built-in heat tape, right?
Correct.
And okay. We're worried that the BTUs that the heat tape puts out over 110 feet are not going to be adequate because this isn't.
Yeah.
We can't pump that many amps into it.
Right.
I think what your problem. Your best bet is to start with insulation. Now, you should be able to go to your hardware store and buy the white open cell insulation. And at least
I've already put pipe insulation over the outside of it, and I've already put that into PVC pipe, but mm-hmm. I'm just trying to prepare for the worst.
Well, then the other thing to do if you have that inside a PVC pipe is to add a secondary heat tape as well. The type that we put on roofs and gutters, so that you've got both the heat tape integral to the hose, giving you BTUs, plus when it's 15 below zero, you can plug in the second heat tape. And with the length of it, I'm not sure you can get a 100-footer, but maybe you can, or else you're going to have to run it from either end. But that way, if you're putting in that many BTUs and you've got some insulation and this is wind protected, you've got at least a 50-50 chance of having water.
Right.
And then
great.
Would you run the hose? Would you trickle run the hose?
Yep.
You're doing that?
Actually, been running for the last 3 weeks already.
Okay.
At night, it's been below freezing.
Right. So you're going to have a very nice skating rink near your mobile home.
Right. You know of an energy inspector in the Eau Claire area?
I don't, but go to Focus on Energy and do some checking there. It is wonderful that you are going to pre-check this house for air changes before you put up the drywall.
Definitely.
Now, remember, if the drywall is done right, that is going to improve. So, if you're going to be at 4 or 5 air changes per hour at 50 pascals, when you put on the drywall, if it's done right, you're going to even make an improvement upon that. But that's an extremely smart idea. At some point, I hope that we will see in the dwelling code that we actually need to pre-check all houses.
That's a great idea. And who knows if it'll ever happen. John Freiberger, our guest today. Oh, my goodness me. John's with Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. Great to have him along. And I think he's already saved a few people some money today and maybe saved you some money as well. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. Mike Crane joining us once again. We're in our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio and your financial support. We've been talking about foundations. Well, your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy on the Ideas Network every day. So I hope you'll make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, I'm happy to report that we're making some progress on that dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. We've raised more than half now, which is really awesome, and we want to keep that going. This is a match from a pair of anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle members who live in Green Bay, and that means that your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 into $200, and so on.
So take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Bugs? Begonias, ice dams, computer memory, and so much more. In a couple of weeks, a chance to call in for kids to call in and talk to Santa.
Yeah.
What am I describing? I'm describing the Larry Mueller Show. And you know what a wonderful show it is. There's no other show like it, and it's possible because of your pledges. It's here on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio because of you. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a pretty easy process to give to WPR. It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution. You'll get so much back for it. And you might consider a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more.
That comes down to less than $4 a day, and it makes the talk, the news, the music, and the entertainment that you count on possible. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Around the holidays, you may have bought some strange gifts.
So I have a friend that loves butter, and I'm giving her a book about butter.
Not really sure what she expected me to do with the card table, and that's kind of a weird gift for a 7-year-old.
I did get a pair of socks from my cousin, except it was like 4 months late, which, you know, it was a bummer to get a pair of socks in April.
This holiday season, consider a much more practical gift. Support Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your tax-deductible gift makes the radio service you rely on possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, man, great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network during our fall membership drive. I hope you'll take time right now to pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane asking for your support of WPR. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Well, you know, lots of people give every year. We have someone who got in touch earlier and said they give every pledge drive.
Yeah.
That's terrific, and we want to encourage regular giving. So how about becoming what we call a sustaining member? That's a monthly giver to WPR. You can set up a comfortable monthly amount from your bank or your credit card, and your support goes right to work toward the programming that you appreciate.
So I hope you'll do that right now. Because your sustaining donation automatically renews every year, your support will always be current. You don't have to wonder if it's your time of the year to give every time you hear a pledge drive. Become a sustainer right now with a gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, I know the answer to this question, Larry. What I'm going to ask listeners, have you ever heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend? You know you have. And with program notes on the website and audio archives, you can also pass things on like that and say, you know, I heard this amazing Larry Mueller show. Here it is on WPR.org. Listen to it. And maybe you already do pass things on.
You know, a graduate student did some research with Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and asked them, relating to my show, if they could remember something from the past week. And he was amazed because everyone could think of something that they had heard on the show, and I was amazed by that. And I think many of them, it was they said it was a great way to stay connected. They've used the ideas themselves. They passed along the stories and information. I think we help you stay connected with your friends and your family and with the whole world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
So here's how you make the pledge. WPR.org. There's an easy form to fill out right there. Or we can have someone fill the form out for you at 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to pledge. You might want to become a 9XM Leadership Circle member. We have many of them. And I tell you what, it's an inspiring thing to do if you can give $100 a month to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Please pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Just a minute to go before noon, and we'll be going on to news.
So why do we have these pledge drives? Really very simple. It's a great way to reach new members and to encourage current members to support again. Are you a member yet? If you aren't, take the step right now.
Mike's a member. I'm a member. John Freiberger's a member. All of the people here that you're hearing during this hour are members right now. And we make membership pretty easy. Any amount you give makes you a member. Just takes a couple of minutes of your time. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make a contribution of $5 or $10 or $20 a month. And when you do, you make WPR programs that you count on possible.
And you know, you hear us say all the time that every dollar makes a difference. It's really true. It's all of us together making WPR possible. So you decide the amount that you want to give. Any amount turns into great programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
John Freiberger is going to be with us after a look at the news. We're going to take a look at the news right now, but there's still time for you to contribute before the news. Do it really quickly now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR is going to go a long way to help us out.
It is the season of giving. Support the radio you love and do something extra by asking for the
right
food
now.
Bank thank you gift right now.
Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your home today, talking home improvement, keeping that house dry and warm and safe with John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. He's a Wisconsin registered home inspector with four decades of experience and does a lot of work with restoring old homes as well. Questions for him, we'll get you on pretty quickly. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@WPR.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And, John, we have a kind of an interesting question on from Sue on Facebook. She wonders if you have experience with concrete countertops and their finishes. A friend has chipping with the finish, and the countertop is only 6 months old. What do you think is happening there?
Well, I don't know what's happening there, Larry, but the thing to do on this, especially 6 months old, is to call the contractor.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's the state of Wisconsin actually has good warranties for homeowners. If you signed a contract with Smith's Countertops or whoever, even if they say it's only for 1 year, if they've actually violated your contract and produce a defective product, you have 5 years, at least 5 years, in some cases six, from the signing of the contract. So anytime a customer has a problem with something in Wisconsin, the first thing to do is to reach out in a friendly way to the contractor. Most contractors know that really is in their best interest to keep everybody happy because,
yeah,
let's face it, contractors live by referral. No one wants to have black stars next to them on Angie's list. So mm-hmm. Sue's friend should give the contractor a call. My guess is they'll come over, take care of it. If it's structural chipping, maybe a significant issue. If it's finished chipping, maybe something they can patch or recoat fairly easily.
Yeah, worth it. Crystal in Colfax, thank you for calling. Hello.
Great show. I always listen when I can. I was just curious, when I first tuned in, you mentioned the mold and everything. Why do they continue building during rain and the winter months? Doesn't that contribute to the moisture?
That's a good question, too.
It is a good question. And if you go to Louisiana Pacific and say oriented strand board handling, they are going to give you this long printout of what you're supposed to do when this is delivered to the job site. And one in 1,000 contractors actually follows that.
Okay.
Now, fortunately, many products such as LP's oriented strand board does have a thin coating of, I think it's urethane, but it's some sort of closed cell sealant. The idea being, if it gets rained on once or twice, it is going to be protected. But of course, if it sits out there in the mud for 3 months before it's put up, or if it's saturated, you are going to have some problems. So there is a little bit of forgiveness engineered into a lot of the products. A good contractor is always going to try to keep a site as dry as they possibly can. The good thing about winter is that you can sweep the snow away, and it doesn't sink into anything unless it turns into water. So in some cases, I know contractors occasionally will put a second floor on a ranch house. They would much rather do it in winter than in the summer because it's easier actually to control precipitation when it's in the form of snow than it is in the form of rain.
Very interesting.
But there are a whole set of construction techniques that are out there. The problem is a lot of people don't follow them. And if you're building a house, you just really have to be careful. Now, we had somebody earlier called saying that they were going to be testing their house before they put in the drywall. Certainly, yeah. Having your house carefully reviewed before it gets too far along. Now, we have municipal inspectors, township inspectors, county inspectors. The problem is they come out 4 or 5 times, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of stuff that they don't see. So you can hire a home inspector. So you can go to the, you can look under the Wisconsin registration to find a Wisconsin registered home inspector. You can go to a national standard like the American Society of Home Inspectors and find somebody and say to them, I want you out there with a moisture meter. I want to see if this wood is saturated. And they will be able to come out and do that for you if they have the education in that area. And most home inspectors are smart enough that if they don't know how to do it, they're going to say, I don't do that, but call Joe Smith over here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it is testing and evaluation is really essential in home building today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and knowing who you're contracting is also important because with the experience level, because I've noticed a lot of these guys will work with a crew and think, okay, well, I can do this myself and start their own company. So like you commented, the mold has become more of a problem in the last so many years. I think that's where a lot of that comes into play is experience. So.
Part of that is design not keeping up with tightness. We make our houses tighter and tighter, and we forget about a lot of things. And the one thing that we really forget about is mold. I'm just reading some articles on some construction techniques in Alaska where they're talking about keeping outside water out of the walls. And there's no discussion, and this is the Cold Climate Housing Research Center, there's no discussion about humidity reaching 85% in these walls. So even some of our professional researchers don't have a complete game plan yet on how to really build a great house.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Crystal. I appreciate your call. I want to give some others a chance to join in. So we'll turn to Michelle in Eau Claire next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, I just wonder if there's any help with, we're having an issue with our water. We're getting sand in our water, and it always seems to happen at this time of year when it starts to get cold. And I don't know if it's a well issue, if it's a plumbing issue. I wondered if your guest had any suggestions.
Well, my suggestion, I've got 4 guys here in the Madison area that I call whenever there's a well or water issue, and you should have somebody good up in that area because there's an awful lot of wells. But wells are so particular to areas, the type of bedrock, the type of bacteria in the soil. You know, is there iron bacteria or isn't? So you really need to go to an expert that is right up there in the Eau Claire area. So call a couple people with wells. They will probably come and they'll want to do a water test. And they will probably have some idea based upon the age of the well, how deep the casing goes, et cetera, as to what's going on. So employ an expert up there and check references in advance so that you know that the person is actually expert at what they're doing.
Okay. So you do think it's probably a well issue rather than a plumbing issue?
If it's sand, I mean, we get scale out of pipes, But scale is very different than sand. It's a very different. I mean, sand is a silicate. It's not a calcium. So if you've identified this as fine grained sand, then it is probably a well problem.
Okay, I mean that's what it seems like. I mean, when we turn on the shower or the water for the tub in the basement, it comes out brown, and then there'll be like a residue, and even the screens on our sinks, you know, when we take the little spigot off and clean that out, there'll be some granular stuff. There's some white stuff. We don't have hard water. I've had that tested for hard water.
Your expert will take a sample. There is going to be a sample drain right down near your pressure tank in the basement.
Okay.
He'll test the water before it goes through any of the pipes in the house. That way, if there's a problem in the water that he takes out where it's first coming into the house, he will be able to identify whether it is a problem in the house or a problem in the well.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Well, thank you for your advice. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. We have Jim in Lake Mills. 2 years ago in fall, a contractor began constructing their small lake home in northern Wisconsin. The roof was installed in very cold weather, and some of the nails apparently weren't driven fully into the nailing gun, by the nailing gun. Warm weather came, nails poked through the asphalt shingles. Contractor repaired these, but there are more shingles bowed up by the nails underneath, and a second round of repair was needed. I believe there will be more to come. What's the proper way to deal with this kind of problem? Am I right in expecting it to be the contractor's responsibility?
Yes. As we said earlier, if you've signed a contract with this roofing contractor, you've got at least 5 years from the date of that contract. If there's a defect in the contract, and the contract's going to say something about good and workmanlike. Larry, where is this person? Where did they email from?
Let me check here. I need to check here. We're going Lake Mills.
In Lake Mills. Okay, excellent. So there are several people in the Lake Mills area, and there's one excellent person in Waukesha who can come and evaluate that roof for you. I believe that the Waukesha firm is Roofing Consultants Incorporated. If that is incorrect, please email me at frei@chorus.net, chorus like a group of singers, C-H-O-R-U-S, and I will get you set up with Lou from over there. He is one of the – Lou does nothing but inspect roofs.
Oh, okay. So
8 hours a day, often 7 days a week. I've worked with him on some very difficult problems, and they have a Midwestern firm with multiple offices. They will be able to look at it, and they will be able to specify the repairs. Because you want the repair specified. If we just start pulling up shingles and whacking at nails and then not repairing the glue strips, those shingles could blow off. So you really want to get a professional involved in this. Also, you want to make sure that you go online and Google Wisconsin Right to Cure. It gives you notifications that you need to give to the contractor and their time to respond and how all of this is done. So the state has put in a system to help avoid litigation, where you can inform the contractor, he can talk back to you, you talk back to him, etc., and so you can get this fixed without involving attorneys and things like that.
Evan in Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Last week you had a guest on who was building like double envelope houses, and I happened to be driving in a neighborhood where a subdivision was going up, and all of those houses were not, you know, energy efficient like the way she described them. I was just wondering what John thinks about us building houses today in subdivisions that, you know, basically are going to be energy dumps for like the next 75 years instead of building, you know, really super efficient homes.
Well, do we have another hour, Larry? It's really unfortunate to see what is being built today. We have a problem in that we have really not adopted good energy codes. We are still allowing things to be way too loose. I believe we're looking at 2018 or 2020 to have energy codes improved. The problem that we're running into all over the United States is there is this problem that people don't want regulation. They want to be able to do what they want. And this really, really is difficult. I mean, we certainly know how to build houses. Again, I'll mention again the Cold Climate Housing Research Center, and especially the one in Fairbanks, Alaska. Well, Fairbanks, Alaska has 14,000 heating degree days, almost double what we have here in Wisconsin. And they have what's called the PERSIST program. They have the remote program. And these are things that you can request from them if you're really interested in building a tight, super insulated house that is not going to have water problems. And the Cold Climate Housing and Research Center, info@cchrc.org. And you can get some fascinating information.
And KP Whaley, our on-air producer, was—I think I saw him writing that all down. We'll post that up on our Facebook page, and that'll be a big help. John Freiberger, our guest today, of Freiberger Construction Consulting, of Fitchburg. He comes by every couple of months. I know he's going to be back on February 9th, and we'll do this all over again with him. In the meantime, we're going to talk with Mike Crane, our director of Wisconsin Public Radio, because he's here to help me tell you about our year-end membership drive. It's your chance to support the WPR programs you count on every day, the programs that keep you in touch, informed, and interested. And your gift right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2017.
Our last hour was really great, Larry. We had 31 people get in touch with membership pledges that helped us go past that dollar-for-dollar match that we were talking about from the generous givers in Green Bay that were part of the 9XM Leadership Circle. Thank you, everybody, for those gifts. We have just a couple of minutes here, and our goal for this break is 10 people getting in touch, and a couple have already done that, and that's terrific. But let's hear from you at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
I always enjoy talking with our guest today, John Freiberger. He does a wonderful job. And I think when he comes on, his is a perfect example of the interesting and informative programs that we have on this show. So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and the many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I mentioned the 9XM Leadership Circle, and for the uninitiated, I'll tell you about 9XM. That is the old call sign of WHA, which is our very first WPR station that started like 100 years ago. And so we honor that history by naming our higher giver club the 9XM Leadership Circle. And I'd like to invite you to join me as part of that circle. Make a pledge of $100 a month or more, and you'll be in that circle. And, you know, we rely on member support, your support, to make great radio.
So give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been partnering with food banks throughout Wisconsin since 2010 to help those in need. President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, Dan Stein, shares the universal impact of hunger.
In the lines that we see veterans, we see seniors, we see people with physical ailments, we see families. There isn't one category, but the one thing they have in common is they're all struggling.
This drive, when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, consider asking for a food bank thank you gift. It's your chance to do two good things at once.
And you know, when you give to that food bank or when you contribute to us, the dollars can go to the food bank in your area, which, Mike, I think is a wonderful thing.
It really is. And one of the things I've learned is I've been involved a little bit with Second Harvest Feeding America folks is that whole point of food insecurity, that people who have jobs, people who have a home, may not know where their next meal is coming from, and that's how this can help. So we encourage you to support WPR and ask for that food bank thank you gift And the way to get in touch is WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 8 more pledges in the next, 6 minutes or so, a little less than that. So I hope you'll give to WPR to support the station you love. It's your public radio.
Thanks for, if you've already given, and if you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now. Help us reach that goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I really enjoy doing this program because we cover so many topics that are of interest to me, and I hope to you as well. We talk about the environment, consumer issues, gardening, how-to topics. We have Wisconsin authors and Wisconsin food. I always like to say I'm pretty good at a cocktail party because I know a little bit about a whole lot of topics that I've learned right here. You get a lot of great information from this program as well, and it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So I hope you'll support this program and all the other programs you enjoy on WPR with your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So, Larry, I'm thinking about the fact that you've been on WPR since before it was called WPR, the state stations, 1967, right?
Right.
But I wonder how many pledge drives you've done.
Oh, lots.
And the number may have changed here and there, and we added the website. It's WPR.org, and our number now for your pledge is 888-202-2552.
I think it's easy to come up with reasons to give to WPR. We have unbiased news. We have exceptional classical music, entertaining programs, and a whole lot more. And if you haven't donated yet, we know what you've been thinking, I believe.
Yeah. Maybe you're thinking, well, my $35 or my $50 really isn't going to make a difference. Or you think someone else will give. Well, we're here to tell you that if you've been thinking about contributing, you've been meaning to, and you just kept putting it off, don't wait.
Do it right now. Don't wait to give because you think it won't make a difference. Don't wait for somebody else to donate. Your support really matters. We have 6 more calls to get. Your membership makes a difference. Start with a gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So we're talking about things to don't do. And we also want to talk about something to do, and that includes making sure you don't take WPR for granted. You tune in to WPR, and every time you hear something good.
But if you travel around the country, I think you'll realize what a gem we have here in Wisconsin. We're really proud of WPR, and you can be too, because you make it possible with your support.
So don't take it for granted. Do something special by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 6 more pledges in the next 3 minutes or so. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It really makes a difference.
You know, people often say, how can you just give away WPR and make it work? Well, it works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it. And if you can't afford to, okay. But when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs you enjoy possible. So how about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount and then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I know that probably in your email inbox or in your snail mail, as they say, you're hearing appeals for year-end gifts, and we're here to do the same thing because it's a great time to give, make your year-end gift, and it takes just a few minutes of your time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It'll just take a little bit of time, and then you'll have that great feeling of supporting WPR all year long. And you'll know that you're looking forward to 2017.
We have to leave in a few seconds, but there's still a minute or two to go. Make your pledge right now. We still have 6 more pledges to get. You can do it. We can do it with your help. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thanks if you've already contributed.